Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. This is episode number 7. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined, as always, by our fearless leader, Mr. Gene Smith. In this episode, we will discuss the business of college athletics and how we manage the resources necessary to run Ohio State's athletics department. Gene, welcome back. How you doing?
Oh, great. Good to be here, Ben. Anxious.
Yeah. Appreciate your time, as always. We're very excited to get started. To get going, why don't you tell us a little bit about how things are going for Ohio State athletics right now, how our winter sports are doing?
Yeah, doing well. You know, we're really blessed. This great group of coaches, great group of athletes, and our hockey teams are particularly doing well. Wrestling's excelling. Our women's basketball team is youthful, but they're performing at a very good level. It's really fun to watch because they're so young, and you can see it. But they missed basketball, hit a little skid, but fortunately they rebounded, and we have a unique opportunity at home. So, Chris will get that ship right. But things are going well. Swimming's doing really well. Synchronized swimming is doing well. Men's and women's tennis just started out, and actually both of them will advance to the Indoor Tennis Association Championships. And so I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Lacrosse is just starting up, so that's getting going. This actually is our busier time of year. Most people think it's the fall, but we have most of our sports going on right now. So really excited. Men's volleyball just got started, and they came out of the chute very strong, and took a tough one this past weekend against UCLA, but beat USC on the road. And then we just hired our new women's volleyball coach, and Jen's going to do a marvelous job for us. She's in the process of filling out her staff and getting ready. And so really excited about how things are going.
Yeah, the Ohio State calendar is chock full right now.
Oh, yeah, very this weekend is amazing. Yeah. I was looking at my calendar. We have tennis, lacrosse, basketball, synchro, wrestling. And I'm sure I'm missing something else.
Can't always keep up. Yeah. So like I said, today we'd like to discuss the business of running a department our size. And we're in a somewhat unique position being that we're self-sustaining. And there's only a handful of schools that are able to say that. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about what that looks like and how that's possible?
Yeah, you know, fortunately, Buckeye Nation has been unbelievably generous. So our revenues through ticket sales, concessions, parkings, donations, all those areas where our fans have been just unreal exist. And then we have a number of third-party relationships. Of course, the Big Ten and the NCAA are part of that with our television partners. But when you think about our Nike arrangement, our Levia arrangement, who's our concessionaire, our Ticketmaster, our Learfield IMG arrangement, and a number of others, Gatorade, some great partners. And so we have some revenue streams that are very strong, and our team works very hard on the expenditure side. Last year, we made some cuts in certain areas in order to make sure we maintain that control, just kind of changing culture and behavior around spending, and this year we'll do the same. We'll really focus on really the administrative accounts this year to try and make sure that we kind of make sure we have that in line with today's world. So we're very, very focused on the expenditure side.
Sure.
Anyone that has a new position or a position that opens, we're very thorough in evaluating whether we're going to fill that position, have some controls in place where they have to sit, fill it for 90 days and reevaluate that position and then determine if we're going to fill it or go in a different direction. So expenditures are big part of that.
And you mentioned briefly the private support that goes into us being self-sustaining. Where does that come from, and why is that important to maintaining that self-sustaining status?
Well, you know, we have a very strong annual giving program, our Buckeye Club, which is, I think, somewhere north of 6,000, 7,000 people strong across the country. It's a backbone of our annual giving. So a number of people who have made a commitment to annually give at a certain level, support our scholarship program is It's massive. And we have a number of capital projects that we've fundraised for over the years, and others that we're continuing to fundraise for. So we have people and corporations who donate to help us with our facilities. And we count in there our PSLs in some of those categories. So we're in that $70 to $75 million a year donations that really are so important to allowing us to be self-sustaining.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate today. Our guest today is Diana Sabo, the Deputy Director of Athletics here at Ohio State. And through her experiences in multiple different external units within Ohio State Athletics, Diana is uniquely qualified to discuss both our department's major partnerships and revenue production. So, Diana, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Happy to have you. And having noted the importance of private support, we'd like to firstly, like Gene said, thank all of our generous donors and season ticket holders for their continued support. But from an operational perspective, Diana, how important is that consistent support from season ticket holders year over year?
You know, truly, Ben, it helps us guarantee the financial success and the remarkable experiences that we can afford to our student athletes. All of our planning principles are based on that. And so that consistency year over year is critically important to us.
And Gene, could you tell us a little bit from a large scale perspective? You mentioned the overall budget and revenue production we have, but how do you manage a budget for 36 sports, being that that's the most of any public institution in the country?
Right. Well, you first and foremost have to have a culture where everyone that works in our athletic department appreciates the fact that we have such generosity. Season ticket holders, donors, and then our third-party partners. So everyone has to appreciate that and understand that we have to be very responsible with those dollars. We don't overspend. We're not frivolous with those dollars. We're focused on one thing, making sure our student-athletes get as much support as they can. And so it's behavior that creates that culture. We have a lot of messaging and controls in place where we talk about finances. We're very transparent with everyone in the department about our dollars. It starts with how people respect the opportunity that we have to be self-supporting, and to have so many people give up their own personal wealth as far as donors are concerned to allow us to be successful.
And Diana, for the season ticket holders, people that are coming year over year, knowing that we have to be responsible how we're using their resources, how do we then take some of those resources and put it back into their overall experience, say for football season ticket holders?
Right. You know, we're taking those experiences such as Wi-Fi, such as fan engagement inside our facilities, such as sound and atmosphere, our scoreboards, various technologies that we're tracking and that are coming online, and giving those back to our fans. Even the aspect of mobile tickets and the transferring of mobile tickets, we want it to be easy for our fans because we count on them to give that support to our student athletes to create the maximum competitive advantage while they're at home. And we get that from Buckeye Nation. We're so appreciative. So every day we're investing on how we could give that back to them.
And then to add on to that, Ben, there's a number of things where we can't raise dollars for.
Sure.
The stadium, for example, is coming up on its 100th year anniversary next year, and we spent $6.3 million just to restore the concrete. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we could have put your name on the concrete, but the reality is those are the deferred maintenance for a lot of our facilities is very difficult to raise dollars for. So ticket sales revenue is significant. When you think of those things, the Wi-Fi, as Diana mentioned, but the roof on the Woody Hayes Athletic Facility, mm-hmm. which was north of $3 million, that facility obviously is so important to our history and tradition. And so when we make those expenditures, they largely come from our ticket sales.
I'll be the first to say, if you do want to put my name in the concrete, you know,
we'll put your wife's name.
Exactly, yes. The Waite family will be proudly represented. Diana, being that we're self-sustaining in a land-grant school,
yes.
How do we make sure that we're using our resources responsibly to also be a good partner with the university?
Yeah, first and foremost, Gene mentioned that we always strive to be 100% accountable and transparent in all that we're doing. We want the university, we want to be a good citizen within this enterprise of higher education, and the university is very important to us. So we're not only building our budgets off of five-year planning principles, but then we're digging in each year and making sure that we are doing what is equitable, what is accountable, and what is needed for the success of our student-athletes to graduate and to compete at the highest levels. And, you know, we could not sustain and guarantee the future without those donations, without those season ticket purchasers, so we are tremendously grateful for that. But in being grateful for that, we are stewards, and we have to make sure that we're spending that wisely and smartly.
Yeah, we're doing we're one of the few schools in the country, Ben, where someone can donate to a different part of the university and be a member of what we have here, our President's Club. Mm-hmm. So you can donate to the College of Engineering, but that donation will allow you to have access to tickets.
Sure.
And we're one of the few schools in the country to do that. And for a long time, we were the only one. And so there's a significant amount of dollars that are raised in the individual colleges where people get the privilege to buy tickets. And some people do that for the opportunity to buy those tickets. We also financially support a number of different programs at the university. Mm-hmm. There's a program called Life Sports. Some of our fans may recall it as the NYSP program. Many of our student athletes went through that years ago. Federal government cut funding for that program, and we chose as an athletic department to keep it alive. It is our largest outreach program to disadvantaged children in the Columbus area. So it's a great program in collaboration with the College of Social Work. So we transfer funds largely from our spring game revenue to the College of Social Work to support that program. So then there's a number of other initiatives within the institution that ranges anywhere from, you know, $5,000 all the way up to $500,000 that we support at the university. We support the library on an annual basis. So we know that we're a financial resource, not just to be self-sustaining, but also to help the institution.
Absolutely.
You know, adding to that, Ben, really quickly, I think something that we're recently very proud of is the contribution that we make to public safety and our university police.
Certainly.
So we have made a commitment to fund $600,000 for employees within the police force and the canine unit. So we're funding dogs yearly at, I think it's about $25,000 for that training in those canines. And then additionally, the car to transport the canines, because this is very important in the society that we live in today, and just in keeping all of campus, not just student athletes and not just athletics events, but everyone safe and secure.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're all well aware, we are very grateful for the work that they do on football game days and every sporting event we have, so it's always great when we can give back to support them. Gene, you mentioned previously that we've recently had some changes in our spending habits, or that the department overall has changed a little bit recently. From your perspective, how has the management of the department in your chair changed through your role has evolved immensely in the university as a whole?
Big time. You know, so funny. Obviously, we had to be able to grow with our changing society, our changing demographics of fans, but also the student athletes we serve. You know, I would not have projected even 5 years ago that we'd have four sports psychologists on our staff. And it was so important for us to get that expertise on our staff for our student athletes, because mental health issues are becoming much more prevalent among our student population, not just our student athlete population. And so we needed experts in that space. And so you added salaries to obviously accommodate in your budget, but you also have your administrative costs associated with that. Every person, you can add about 15% of their salary and figure that's your indirect costs just to start out. So when you look at the creative/social media space, You know, the I never would have thought that we would have the graphic designers, the social media people, the video people. I mean, the growth in those areas compared to, you know, when I first started and even at Arizona State or 10 years ago, I never would have
There were no tweeters and TikTokers
back then. Yeah, you didn't have that. Yeah, it's actually, you know, this TikTok. It's unbelievable how you do that. But anyway, so it's just, I never would have projected that. And so those are significant costs associated with an athletic department today. And while we are blessed because the team that I work with every day, our video people are a perfect example, that they use students. Mm-hmm. And I see that as very important. You provide educational opportunities for students working with these experts. You provide an opportunity for those students to have a practical experience that they can add to their resume. Mm-hmm. So we use students quite a bit in a lot of these categories. However, to your question, that growth in personnel in that spot, big time. And so it's really changed a lot.
And shout out to our social and video staffs. Thank you for all the work that you guys do for us. Diana, Gene mentioned that it's hard to project how things are going to change in the climate that we live in today, but how far do we try and project out our budgetary revenue and spending as a department? And then how do our contracts or partnerships with places like Nike or IMG play into that?
Yeah, great question, because, you know, truly when you look at 36 sport programs and then the units and departments behind those to make them successful, it's hard to predict what travel costs are going to be or what's going to go up. But by forecasting a five-year plan, by looking at the trends, and then really measuring out our long-term agreements that will guarantee our future, such as our Nike, our Levy, our Learfield IMG. So then we're looking at what dollars are coming in each year annually as we go into our budget process. Each unit starts with zero-based budgeting, which is more about what you need to be successful, not what you want to be successful. And then we look at how we can maybe backfill some of those areas through ticket sales, through donors, through our opponents that we're playing, and that's where scheduling comes into play, and it's critical in our short capture and long-term success. So it's more of a art than a science, because each year is going to be a little bit different. But we have to make sure that, number one, we're very disciplined in the process. And with Gene's guidance and with being really transparent to our public and to Buckeye Nation, we've been able to achieve that success year over year.
Absolutely. Gene, high-level question for you. We've talked about Nike a little bit. You got your swoosh on.
Of course.
Why are we a Nike school? Why aren't we an Under Armour school or Adidas school or anything like that?
You know, it's interesting. So when I first did our first renewal here, and I forgot what year it was, I pulled our coaches in, and we had a meeting because I wanted to be on the same page with them about their interest. And at that particular time, this was maybe 12 years ago, every coach felt that the Nike brand was so important in the recruiting process. And so that helped me frame really what was important to them. And we're able to strike a good relationship, continue a good relationship, a good deal. Then the last time I did the same thing, reassessed with our coaches that was important to them. And recruiting is our lifeblood. And we felt that brand and the relationship that we built with that brand over the years was important. And I try and ask our team, and Diana does a lot of the negotiations and the management of these contracts. I never want to be in a situation where we are managing a relationship through a contract. It is about a win-win scenario where your partners win and we win. And if we have to go back to the contract to manage the relationship, we failed in the relationship. And so Nike's always been a great partner. They provided flexibility when we needed it. Have been able to get more cash from another partner, but I don't think we would have been able to have the type of relationship like we have with Nike. And the other thing about Nike is we have 36 sports, and they can cover them all. And they're willing and have been and have done this, carved out the areas where they feel somebody else can do a better job covering or they cover so or don't cover. So it's a great relationship.
It doesn't hurt to have Mr. James out in L.A. associated with that brand either.
And doesn't hurt. Doesn't
knowing
hurt.
His love for this university as well. Diana, obviously you were intimately involved in the most recent discussions with Nike with our new contract. Can you tell us a little bit about that process and then what about our contractor relationship is unique and how it benefits our student athletes?
Sure, and Gene touched on it a little bit when he brought about the importance of our coaches and what they thought. But, you know, it does go back to that recruiting element. And when our student athletes are participating in elite tournaments and elite programs and competitions, and they're sponsored by that brand and our partner, Nike, they want to be wearing that. They want to be proud to wear that. And so we are always very interested in what our student athletes have to say and make sure we get their feedback as well. It's really important to us. So they wanted to wear the swoosh, and they wanted to have that iconic brand associated with their brand and their excellence. So that was important in our process as we worked through the negotiations. You know, it is a relationship, and when you have a really great relationship, you like to have be tip of the pyramid and have favored status. And so it's really important to us with Nike that as this is a long-term agreement, that we have opportunities to take look-ins and take pauses throughout our relationship to make sure that we are where we need to be currently with trending programs, trending cultural phenomenons, trending needs in equipment and evolution of equipment and technology. And they've always been very willing to step up, and that's a part of our contract as well. But really one of the defining measures of this new agreement for us was that we made the intentional commitment to provide more apparel and more gear to our student athletes. So it wasn't on the traditional model of here's a lot of cash for your athletics department or your institution, and we wanted to step away from the traditional model, look at more of experiences and internships, look at career opportunities, and then make sure that our student athletes and on campus had the opportunity to rep the brand and feel like it was all united and we were all in as the Ohio State University. So our recreation departments can purchase their uniforms through Nike at a more of a wholesale discounted cost through our athletics contract. Our student athletes have the opportunity to wear a really nice warm-up suit to Olympic trials, and they have a variety of them, so it's not they're not scarce in anything that they can take from the university when they're off of campus. And that was very important to us, the totality of the university, and then making sure our student athletes have not only what they need but maybe just a little bit more so they could spread the love back in their home community too.
And then where do we feel like the Blocko ranks kind of in that, maybe that whole portfolio that Nike has, or even internationally? How does our brand play into that?
So our brand year over year is right within the top three. It really helps with the television coverage and the variety of looks that Nike provides to us because it becomes culturally relevant. And you see when you're on different websites or different e-commerce sites, Ohio State merchandise always is right there and is popping up at a pretty quick rate, whether you're living in Columbus, Ohio, or you're out in California. And so that's really important to us. It's become more of a national brand, not just a local and regional look. And then internationally, it never ceases to amaze me. When you travel abroad, you'll see people wearing Nike Ohio State co-branded apparel. And so where they're getting that, I'm not quite sure, but it's important to us that it is represented overseas and it is pretty well-reaching, not only with our student-athletes who live there, but within those communities of people who it is the affinity, and they love the brand, and so we're really proud of that.
Absolutely. Every airport you walk through, whether it's in Tokyo, Toronto, or Tecumseh, it's you get a Go Bucks or an OH to the IO. As we mentioned, another one of our notable partners is Learfield IMG College, and Diane, I was hoping maybe for our listeners that don't know, you could explain a little bit about who they are and how that partnership works.
Yeah, absolutely. So IMG and Learfield were two companies that ran independently with parallel paths in the multimedia space. So breaking that down to probably a very granular level, that is the management and sales association of your logo and your brand with your within your athletics department with corporate sponsorships and for-profit entities. And so anytime that Buckeye Nation sees our Ohio State logo in association with a corporation or a company, whether it be a national brand or a local brand, that is through a partnership established with IMG. Recently, Learfield and IMG just combined forces, so it's Learfield IMG, and they're one big corporate entity. And we have a working MOU right now with Learfield IMG for a larger agreement that will really help financially sustain our future, and will be a different national model, much different from what our traditional contract was with IMG.
And Gene, as Diana mentioned, they have a very national reach. Why is it important to us as Ohio State to work with a partner like Learfield IMG that can reach nationally and even internationally?
Well, they have the capacity to have a company that can reach national sponsors a lot easier than we can. We're part of a conglomerate. They have a number of different schools. So when they look at selling to a particular sponsor, they're just not aligning that sponsor with our school. They're aligning it with other schools. And what we're really blessed to have is a partnership where they understand what we bring to the table in that relationship. And so our share is a little different. And so they really, really focus on outside our region, what relationships that they can bring to the table that might help us that we otherwise would not have gotten. We used to do this in-house. And when the recession hit, we lost 21 annual sponsors in 1 year. And that's when I decided, along with our team, that we needed to have a third party do it and get those expenditures off our books and get us a guaranteed revenue on an annual basis. And Diana's just in the middle of negotiating a deal where it's guaranteed revenue plus a revenue share based on the upside. So that's what they do every day. This is they have the marketeers who are on the street doing it every day nationally, and that's the difference. It took about $18 million off of our expenditure books, so that now we're able to use their expertise as opposed to us building it.
That way we're not relying on Susie Salads from Clintonville.
That's exactly right.
Well, and also, because of their massive reach and the two companies merging and coming together, they also have other corporations that help in our spaces,
right,
whether it be experiences, whether it be with the digital space, website and social media advantages that we can deploy to really further and better our national attention and really our fan affinities. It's just really globally best for us to work with a multimedia rights partner.
And then Diana, knowing that you're kind of in the middle of a discussion or negotiations moving forward, how does that impact our budgetary decisions projecting out 5 years, knowing that we're going to have a new relationship there with IMG?
Sure, you need, as we continue to plan out 5 years and each year, those cornerstones for our budgetary principles and our planning. And without those, we could not sustain some of the new initiatives that we'd like to do and guarantee some of the experiences that we have currently happening for student athletes. So it's absolutely highly critical. We don't want them to all be coterminous. We phase them at different times so that our Coke relationship, our IMG agreement, our Nike agreement are all at different cadences, so that we will be financially successful and we will always have that guarantee of income and revenue coming into our department for our planning principles.
And finally, I'd like to discuss a topic that's of particular interest to our fans and supporters, football scheduling.
Sure.
So, Diana, can you just tell us a little bit about our overall philosophy for football scheduling?
Sure. It's a definite balance of a delicate nature. We want to make sure that we are setting up our student athletes for optimum opportunities for success, but we also need to provide Buckeye Nation with exciting competition. And we want to make sure that our schedule is preset after three non-conference games that the Big Ten Conference determines who we were playing within our division and when we are playing them. So when our fans come back to us and say, why on earth would you schedule Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan all at the end of your season, that's given to us by the Big Ten. We don't have much that we can do with that. But it's really critical in the early September and October period when we have those dates that we maximize the opportunities, look for a marquee competitor each year that's really going to be exciting to our fan base, that will help drive ticket sales to provide that revenue for the future of our programs, and that really makes our fans and a new generation of fans excited about establishing new traditions, coming to the Shoe on a Saturday, and really seeing what football is all about at Ohio State, what the atmosphere is all about, and the social elements of football. Really, I'm looking forward to the future. We have some exciting opponents that we'll be announcing in the spring and upcoming this fall, and it will provide great opportunities of challenges for our student athletes and then be really exciting for our fans.
Can't wait to hear about that. How far in the future do we schedule, and how does that impact our forecasting?
Sure, that's really critical, and Gene can add in that as we plan out 5 years, and each year within that five-year plan, we look at our ticket prices for football and we start to forecast what that could be. And we look at who those marquee opponents are going to be when we bring them into the Shoe. And we need seven home games every year to maximize 36 sports and to provide that income to sustain us. So you're not going to see less than seven, but there will be a year or two when we have a super strong schedule, and then the following year we couldn't maximize that. When we are away in odd years at Michigan, we need to make sure that all of our non-conference games are at home to sustain that seven model game within the Shoe. So truly, it's a big deal when it comes to planning. It is a part of our forecasting. But, sometimes you think your best set plans, they get changed or they get turned over. A few years ago when we saw that Nebraska was coming on our schedule, we thought, okay, this is going to be a great home schedule. We have Nebraska and Michigan State. Well, that particular year, the Nebraska ticket was maybe a little bit higher than our market value, our customers wanted to pay, because they were not doing very well. And then we had the same thing happen with Michigan State. Sometimes what we hope is our perfect plan does not always turn out to be perfect, but we really try to get that sweet balance.
Yeah, that's real difficult, Ben, because when you look at ticket pricing in today's world, and I have to applaud Diana, ticket office and financial office, because last year we introduced the flex packages and the mini plans, so to speak, and that was important for us to do. We have been doing it in basketball. We needed to do it in football, and that's a shift for us. And we're introduced more this year. We made the decision not to increase the season ticket this year. And that was a major hit for us to absorb that. But we thought it was the right thing to do. As we introduce these new products into the marketplace, and we'll continue to look at other ones as we move forward. Diana's done a great job with our schedule. She kind of referenced we're sitting in a year in 2022, I believe it is, where we have eight home games. And that will be a great home schedule, but a shock to the system for our fans, because the ticket prices will be high, particularly when you have Iowa, team up north, Wisconsin, and Notre Dame at home in the same year, along with four other competitors. And so that's one of the reasons we didn't increase ticket prices this year, because we're trying to keep that base low, because we know in 21 we'll probably have to increase slightly, but in 22 it's going to be a major hit for our fans.
The season ticket cost may look a little different, but those are going to be very exciting games to watch.
Oh, my goodness, marquee games. And we have Texas and Washington at home in the same year, 1 year. And we've really made the decision, and Diana's done a great job with this, to make sure that we have some great marquee matchups. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to align those with our Big Ten games. We made a decision as ADs to encourage the conference office to give us our Big Ten schedules further out, which they've done, which allows someone like Diana, who does the scheduling, to be able to say, okay, let's match up this, let's match up Texas here, let's match up Washington here, let's match up these schools here, and the ones that she's going to announce later. She can do that knowing what our Big Ten schedule is.
And Gene, you had the distinction of sitting on the CFP selection committee, mm-hmm. and you were in the room as a lot of those decisions were being made. From that perspective, above and beyond our revenue forecasting, why is it important for Ohio State to have those marquee matchups?
Well, I think first and foremost, regardless of the CFP, it's right for two demographics. Our players want to play those teams. You know, I'm certain that our players, when we go to Oregon and play Oregon and be in that stadium, it's going to be an unbelievable experience for them. You know, Austin Stadium is phenomenal. And so to play in that arena is going to be spectacular. To play Notre Dame when they come on the schedule, it's a great experience for our student-athletes. And then, obviously, for our fans. Our fans want to see us play those teams, and hopefully they come to the Shoe to see us play those teams. And I think it helps us with the CFP, of course, but the main focus is really for our student-athletes and fans.
That does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. Diane, I want to thank you so much for your time. I think that was some really valuable information that I know our listeners are going to appreciate. And Gene, as always, I appreciate everything that you contribute.
Thanks, Diana.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Go Bucks.
We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We will be back with new episodes released the first Monday of each month. Next month, we'll be hosting some of our special student athletes to discuss how they'll be representing The Ohio State University internationally in their athletic endeavors. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Thank you, and go Bucks.